Welcome to the Way of Success. Pastor Banky is teaching the principles of life established in the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, whose kingdom indeed reigns over all. Relax and listen, and you'll be blessed by this message.
In the book of 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7, we have read it a number of times. Let's read it again. Paul was admonishing Timothy. He said, "But have nothing to do with worldly fables fit only for old women. That is, don't waste your time on things that are irrelevant." He said, "On the other hand, discipline yourself for the purpose of godliness." He said, "For bodily discipline is only of little profit, but godliness is profitable for all things, since it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come." Now, recently I began this series titled "The Power of Godliness." Now, there are a number of things that are so important for us to note in these few verses of scriptures that we have read. Number one, it said godliness is an exercise. And that's the first thing I explained, that it's a discipline. It's something we have to discipline ourselves for. Now, I compared it to the issue of bodily discipline, that is something we walk towards, we exercise ourselves towards it. We already established the fact that we all have the tendency to be affected by our environment, and every child, as you grow into becoming an adult, you're essentially a product of the influences that your environment has compelled you to experience. But that as you go on, you get to a particular point in time where God now demands repentance. We are seeing that the time comes in which the commandment of God for your life is that you repent. For that reason, we say there is what the Bible calls godliness, and we are supposed to begin to learn the principles of godliness. David said, "Come, you children, listen to me, and I will teach you the fear of the Lord." That the way by which we learn godliness, which is the same thing as the fear of the Lord, is by going to listen. We hear the word of God. I'm so pleased that you have tuned in for this particular teaching tonight. But the reason is that you are listening, and I am teaching you the fear of the Lord. So we have established that it's a matter of discipline. Now, and the last time we spoke on this issue, what I began to explain, which I will continue in explaining today, is the fact that things that are outward in life actually are controlled most importantly by the things that are inside us. I explained the fact that the Bible says that if you read the book of Haggai chapter 1 verse 10, the children of Israel were experiencing difficulties and experiencing calamity, and God said it is because of you. And when we're saying because of you, he wasn't talking about just the fact that they consumed fossil fuels, or they did not use fossil fuels, or burn up the firewood in the forest and they caused deforestation. No, he was talking about things that they had neglected to do, their moral obligations in life, which they had neglected to do. He said because of those things, the earth was experiencing famine. There was drought. Rain wasn't falling. And he said it was because of what was inside the hearts of the people. And we said if you read from the book of Leviticus chapter 18, you'll see Moses there warning the people ahead of time. That's before entering the promised land. He was telling them that if you are going to prosper in that promised land, you will be careful not to defile yourselves by any of those things that the people defiled themselves by. That when people begin to perform abominations, when they get into the issue of murdering themselves, when they get into sexual immorality, homosexuality, bestiality, and all those moral issues that we have come to understand in life are morally perverse things. When they do them, what happens is that they become defiled, and the land upon which they stand becomes defiled, and then natural disasters, what we call natural disasters, will begin to occur in that land. Famine will break out, earthquakes, plagues, all kinds of epidemics will break out upon the land. And it's not a chance thing. Please understand this. Those things don't happen by chance. They happen because of the moral behavior of the people that is there, that are on that land. There's something I've been explaining, because this is what I want to continue to talk about today. That what our land is experiencing, what our lives are experiencing, what our families are experiencing, what our communities are experiencing, are tied to those things that are inside our hearts and the things that are manifested in our moral behavior. That godliness is not about religion. It is an evil thing that we practice, in which we go to church and think that godliness is what we practice in church. When we are going to church, we are very pious, we are very well behaved. Let me give you an example. You see young ladies, you are going to church, you dress very modestly, you dress in a manner that is presentable in your opinion before God. But when it comes to go for lecture halls, you may as well pass as a harlot, because you think that godliness is just about church. It's not about what is outside. So you see, that's one wrong idea that Satan has sold to us, that when we go to church, we behave. When you're about to get to church, say, "Don't tell lies, or this is a church." Listen, if you will not tell lies in church, you should not tell lies outside. The reason being that godliness is not about, you know, doing something that appears good to God. I'm bringing out something. Godliness is something that's actually good for you. The Bible says that it has a promise for the life that now is and that which is to come. What I began to explain last time, which I said I want to develop further again, is this issue that what you come out of your life naturally, please let me emphasize this issue of naturally, There are things that are coming out of your system naturally, and they are determined by the state of your heart, the things that are inside you, the things that you believe, the way you behave, and how you relate with the people around you. Now, those things come out, and they affect your fortunes in life. There's something I've explained before that when we talk about aura. Now, when you talk about aura, it's not just about the influence you have on people around you, but it's about the influence you have on your environment. Listen, your heart, your behavior, your character affects your environment, and that's why we are talking about godliness. Godliness means to be like God. There was something I said at the beginning, that when God made man, he said, I made them to have dominion. And what I did so that they can have dominion is that I made them in my image and after my likeness. And I'm going to explain this again. You cannot have dominion in the areas where you are not walking in a godly fashion. It is not possible. Now, if you think that somebody is having dominion and is walking out of godliness, it is because you have not looked closely, or you don't understand the degree of dominion that God determined for that person to have. And to you, it is impressive what he's having now, not realizing that he's falling very far short of God's glory. Please get this principle here. You cannot reign in life except godliness is part of your character. What I'm saying is just so true. You cannot reign in life except godliness is part of your character. That's how God has designed it. Let me tell you something, students. You can be a student, you can be a lecturer, you can be a worker, you can be a boss, be an employee, a government official, a citizen of a nation. Listen, there are set principles that apply to godliness concerning the situation that you are in. And God designed those things to bring out the best for you in life. He didn't design them to prevent you from enjoying. One of the things people say a lot, which is actually a lot of error, is that they don't understand that righteous work is not how to stop people from enjoying. What we call enjoyment, listen, it's a pathway. You see, it's a door that Satan opens sometimes to keep us in a trap. Do you get what I'm trying to say? I like one thing. Somebody quoted Nietzsche. If you remember, Nietzsche was a very renowned philosopher who was an atheist, did not believe in God. He said when the man was going to die, he made some statements. I can't quote it verbatim now, but I remember the essence of the things that he was saying. He said that everything that had to do with self-denial and suffering and discipline, let me use those words, in life, I rejected. And I gave myself over, all right? He said, I rejected suffering. I rejected any kind of lack of pleasure in my life. But I gave myself over to extreme pleasure. I indulged in all kinds of pleasure, made sure I gave myself enough satisfaction and enjoyment in life. He said, the only problem was that I only took the longer route to the dissatisfaction and suffering and discontent and discouragement that I was trying to run away from. Let me explain this principle here. You know, some of you, if you're brought up by godly parents and then they restricted your movement as a child, there were places you could not go, some of your mates could go. There were things you could not do that some of your mates could do. And somebody tell you that, look, it's because that you are being denied the pleasures of life. Your parents are not allowing you to enjoy. Your guardians are not allowing you to enjoy. What they don't understand is that what your guardian and your parents that are leading you in the path of righteousness, they are actually reserving you for greater enjoyment later on in life. All the sex you will have had now and you call enjoyment will deny you the true satisfaction of marital sex later on in life. All the partying you will have had now that you will call enjoyment will incapacitate you from getting to the place where you can have real enjoyment. Do you follow my point? When you have become an older person, there's a saying they have in my place. They said that we are trying to save the small chick from certain death, but he's saying that they are not allowing me to go into the open space to go and play. Because you see, the people who are trying to prevent the chick from going out to the open place to play is because they understand that the kite, the hawk, is hanging around, and if you release that chick into the open place, it will snatch this chick up, and that will be the end of its life. Now, not having that understanding, the person is complaining that you are not allowing me to enjoy. Let me explain something to you. Godliness is not because of God. Godliness is because of you. Listen, God designed you to prosper. Please, I need to explain this. Nobody was created by God to be an average person, to be a non-entity. When God made you, there is something specific he made you to accomplish. There is a certain degree of glory he planned for you to achieve. There is a certain degree of blessing that he expects you to bring into the lives of other people. There is a certain degree of joy and gladness that your life is supposed to experience. Now, get what I'm going to say. And this degree is beyond what you can ever imagine. And he said, for you to be able to experience that, for you to be able to have dominion over the economic troubles of life, for you to be able to have dominion over sicknesses and troubles and premature death, for you to be able to have dominion over failure, so that what I have planted inside you will be fully manifested. He said, first thing I did did was to make you in my image and after my likeness. And if you are not behaving after my likeness, if you are not behaving like me, what happens is that you are reducing your ability to manifest in life. See, I say this thing again and again because sometimes it appears as if some of the Christianity we practice is to make it appear as if what we need in life, all right, to succeed is to pray hard. You know, what we need in life to succeed is to give an offering, is to attend a night vigil or fast. But you see, people don't understand this. When God was talking about the real fast that he has ordained in the book of Isaiah chapter 58 verse 5, if you go and read that thing in context, he said, look, my fast is not the time in which you go hungry and bow your head like a reed and spread out sackcloth and ashes as a bed. He said, what I call a fast, listen to this, let me summarize it first, is to walk in a fashion that is pleasing to me for you to walk in a godly fashion. He said, that is the real fast that I choose. In verse 6 of that Isaiah chapter 58, he said, this is my fast, to loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the bands of the yoke, and to let the oppressed go free, and to break every yoke. Now, this is one thing I have seen again and again. I have seen business people who are not disciplined, who don't tell the truth, who do not meet their contractual obligations, who people cannot rely upon that if this man says this, that's what he means, then the people are having problem in their business, then they go and gather prayer warriors and pastors into their homes, and the people will come for a three-day prayer, a fasting vigil. I hope you're getting what I say. They say, okay, like we are going to wage a warfare, and then they will start attacking the enemies. Everybody that will not want you to succeed, all the witches, and I don't know why people think witches are always in villages. There are witches in cities. Do you follow my point? Around you, there is a witch. There is a witch in your house. In fact, there is a witch in your bed. Let me tell you exactly where the witch is. The witch is inside your heart. But people start aiming their spiritual guns wrongly. They start aiming at people who are not even thinking about them, and most of those people don't even exist. I've seen this thing a number of times. And you see, the man starts praying and anointing his premises. One thing that he never comes to terms with is the fact that I am a liar. One thing he never comes to terms with is the fact that I'm a cheat. One thing he never comes to terms with is the fact that I'm an adulterer. And every time he's there praying and praying and praying. Please, I need to explain something about this power of godliness and the Spirit of Christ. Now, when we talk about the Spirit of Christ, please get this point. If you go and read the book of 1 John chapter 5, it says, whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, which is our faith. I need to talk about that issue of whatever is born of God. Listen, overcoming for the believer, for the child of God who has faith in Christ Jesus, is not a struggle. It's a natural phenomenon. It says, whatever is born of God. Listen, let me explain something to you, which I'm sure I've explained a number of times. When people talk about witches sometimes, they talk about occultists. They talk about people casting spells on people. I mean, this is Africa. You know, these are things we hear all the times. Now, they make a mistake. They don't understand something. That you see, before you can afflict somebody, you must have accusations against the person. And those accusations will be presented before the throne of God. I've explained this before. And God passes judgment to support your accusations if there is no defense for the person. Please get what I'm saying. So if you say that a witch is afflicting you, if you first ask yourself a question, what gave the person the right to afflict me? Do you follow what I'm saying? That is, they just don't have power in themselves. Satan doesn't have power in himself. God has given you godliness as a shield. You know what he says? He said, righteousness delivers from death. That is, if people want to attack you with the spirit of death, if the devil wants to attack you with the spirit of death, the Bible says that there is one thing you have as a defense for that, and he says it is righteousness. Please get what I'm going to say. Now, there are two levels to righteousness. There is the introductory level to righteousness, which you experience because of faith that you have in Christ Jesus. And what that does for you is that it breaks automatically. Listen, it breaks automatically all the negative history of your past. Now listen, the sins you committed in previous times, the sins of your ancestors that you have connected with by your own work in your earlier days, do you follow my point? The thoughts of your heart and the words of your mouth with which you have cursed yourself in previous times, all those things put together are washed away when you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, because there is a cleansing power in the blood of Jesus. That is the first level of righteousness. Therefore, the Bible says that hearing is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. But then another level comes in which the person who has believed in Christ Jesus and have been made righteous by faith begins to do the works of righteousness. So James will say, was Abraham not justified or made righteous because of his works, in that his works cooperating with his faith? Now, guess what I'm saying? That is, if Abraham believed and it was declared to him as righteousness, you will notice that Abraham began to walk in a manner that pleased God. When God said, leave your father's house, he left. When there was a quarrel, listen, between him and Lot, and even though he had the right, being a senior person, to choose first, he allowed Lot to choose first. Now, guess what I'm trying to say? He never defrauded anybody. Even when he went to war at the risk to his life and the life of his men, and legitimately he was entitled to the goods that he got, listen to what he did. He first gave a portion to Melchizedek and returned the rest to the original kings that owned it, even though he had the right to it because of the conquest of war. Now, I'm bringing up something here. He was walking in faith, and it was shown in the things that he was doing. When he saw strangers, he entertained them. He did the works of righteousness. Please get what I'm trying to say. That is, godliness is when we do the things that are pleasing in the sight of God. And there is a level, because the Bible talks about righteousness delivering from death. That's what I'm trying to explain. Listen, don't forget this thing. You were created for dominion. And all the sins of your fathers, the fact that you're a black man, the fact that you're in Africa, the fact that you're in Nigeria, the fact that you're not well educated, the fact that you don't have money, all those things are not enough to stop you from prospering if your heart is thoroughly tuned into the godliness of God. Do you follow my point? That is, listen, this is where life starts from. It doesn't start from the outward things. It starts from the things that are inside. And that's why I want us to understand. There is the sincerity of heart with which we must deal, and God will pour grace upon everything that we do. The mistake, I was saying something earlier about people aiming their guns wrongly. The mistake is that we want to walk outside. I taught a message some time ago, which I titled, How to Labor Correctly. Listen, labor in life is in different levels. There is outward labor in which you wake up early and you come back home late and you work as hard as is possible. The Bible says that it is vain for a man to do that kind of thing. So rise up early and to come home late. He said, eating the bread of hard labor. He said, because God gives to his beloved even while he sleeps. That is, God adds things to his life. Do you follow my point? That the man is in a position of rest where God is giving to him even while he's sleeping. Where other people are getting up early, hey, go and meet a target, go and get customers, go and do this, go and do this, go and do that. The man, while he's sleeping, people are thinking about him and they will call him first in the morning and say, please, we want to meet you and do business with you. Where other people are running up and down looking for admission, a man will suddenly remember, oh, there was one young man I met some time ago. Let me call him. He will be fitting for this particular training that we're about to do. And they call him and say, come, I want to put you on this training list. Now, other people are begging for it, but he's getting it. Now, I'm bringing out something here. The person who's getting it like that, the truth is that there is a manifestation of blessing that's upon him. And a man, a woman can put himself in that area, in that arena of that blessing by laboring differently. What do I mean by laboring differently? I've described labor outside. You wake up early, you rush up and down, you try to get things done for yourself. But there is a labor in which I settle down and I work on my heart. I start checking my attitude in what I am doing. Please, I'm talking about godliness. Because the foundation of enduring prosperity and enduring success, we are talking about the way of success, the foundation of these things is godliness. The Bible says that righteousness exalts a nation and sin is a reproach to any people. That is, when people found their life upon iniquity, that is the opposite of godliness, even though temporarily they appear to be succeeding, eventually what they will experience is utter failure. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Now, recently there's been an economic crisis all over the world. And we're analyzing what is the cause of this. I say it is simple. People thought they were prospering when indeed they were not prospering. People were living on money they did not have and they thought they had it, because somebody was willing to give them something on credit. I'm bringing out something. In fact, one man was analyzing the principle that, listen to this, I want you to notice very carefully. He said, look, when you are doing what is wrong, this was a financial expert analyzing the situation. He said, when you are doing what is wrong, now what happens is that it appears as if you are enjoying until the calamity finally comes. Now he said it like this, that imagine this scenario, that you jump out from the top of a building and the building has 80 floors. He said, for the next 79 floors, as you are falling down, you can actually deceive yourself that you are flying. Now notice this, you have jumped off the top of a building that has 80 floors. And for 79 floors, as you are dropping, you actually think you are flying. He said, the reality will dawn upon you suddenly when you finally hit the ground and you realize that I wasn't flying, I was falling. That it's possible to deceive yourself to think you are enjoying when you are walking in sin. The Bible says that sin is a reproach. But righteousness, he says, exalts. Please, there's something I just like to explain to people again and again. I am not saying that there is quick blessing and quick breakthrough in godliness or in righteousness. Do you understand my point? That is one mistake we have made in our teaching sometimes as Christians, that is, as we teachers of the Word of God. We unconsciously sometimes, and we Christians love to learn it like that, think that when we do right, we quickly get a breakthrough. Therefore, somebody gives an offering today and he expects that tomorrow I should get a big harvest. Let me just say to you again, it doesn't work like that. If you are not ready to start giving consistently at the level you've started now, don't just bother starting. Because the Bible says in the book of Hebrews, chapter 6, verse 12, it said, "Be followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises." It is not just the doing, that is the faith at the beginning, but the continual doing, which is what is called patience. Do you follow what I'm going to say? Look, there is no quick breakthrough like that with walking righteously. Sometimes it first takes you down, all right, lower than the level that you used to be. But then what I'm teaching is that it has a power to establish you forever. You know, as we go on, I'll take a few practical examples. Because when we're talking about this godliness, all right, it has practical definitions. There is what is godliness in a man's relationship with his wife. There is what is godliness in a woman's relationship with her husband. And if both of them operate the godliness of marriage, then they will see a marital bliss that they did not imagine was possible. Listen, I know there are evil forces that try to break homes. But I always say they don't have a knife to cut the home apart. What they have is the ability to suggest ungodliness to the heart of a man and the ability to suggest ungodliness to the heart of the woman. What Satan does is to tempt. Please get this point. It doesn't have power the way we think it does. What he has is what the Bible calls the power of death. And the power of death is that is released into his hands when a man is walking in sin. That's why he said the wages of sin is death. It's when a man has sinned and God wants to give him his wage, which is called death, that Satan acquires power as a result of the iniquity of the person. Do you get what I'm going to say? So Satan cannot just wake up and walk into my house and say, "Pastor Banky, I want to break your home apart." He cannot do that. He doesn't have the power. The only thing he can do is he can come to me and make suggestions. And then I begin to listen. Don't forget what I told you earlier about who Satan is. Satan is a spiritual being, we know. But when he wants to talk, he doesn't float in the air. He comes in the mouth of an ungodly friend who starts giving you ideas and counsels that are different from that which God wants you to operate. He starts telling you how to solve problems that are not in line, all right, with the will of God. And that's what he does. And when you begin to use his methods to try and solve your problems, you are opening the door bigger for Satan to step in. And it is those disregard for godly standards, the standards of God established in the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, expressed in the Holy Scriptures, is when we disregard them that we open ourselves to the assault of Satan. The Bible says that every disobedience gets a just recompense of reward. Do you follow my point? That is, I was talking about marriage as an example. So if the man starts imbibing wrong thoughts towards his wife, what he's doing is that he's telling Satan, "Come in." He's opening the door. He says, "Satan, come in." You understand my point? And then I told you about satanic words. They don't always come from outer space. They come from the mouths of people. My wife described something to me the other day. There was a meeting, a women's meeting that somebody invited her for. And the person teaching was telling women the wisdom to handle their husband. And it was pure deception. Pure deception. That is, he said that there was a time she and her husband were keeping their money together. And the man was spending most of the money on his family. Therefore, what did she do? She just went and told the man that they said they should open a new account in their bank, in their office, that they can no longer pay into the bank. And the husband said, "Okay, no problem." And then she went and opened an account in another bank. They were now paying her money into it. So that way, she got control over her money. He said, and he was advising the women gathered, say, "Look, you have to be wise. You won't just sit down there." And it was supposed to be a Christian gathering. My wife was so upset. She said the problem was that they did not give her the opportunity to ask a question. She wanted to challenge the woman. She came home to me and said, "Do you use is wisdom using deception?" Listen to me, that is deception, that is not wisdom. The day your husband finds out that you lied on those matters, then you have set yourself up for a bigger problem. Do you follow my point? There are men who hear advice when Satan wants to finish their marriage. Their friends will tell them that the reason why your wife is misbehaving is because she knows you are a faithful man. If you have girlfriends like other people, she will know she has to fight for your love. You are a madman if you are thinking like that. Why should your wife fight for your love? Now, I'm not excusing a bad behavior from the side of a woman. That's not what I'm going to say. But I'm saying that you don't put her back into proper behavior by threatening to flirt. It's Satan you are listening to. It's Satan. He said, "I'll just go out if you don't behave." Why you are? She's your wife by covenant. She might misbehave. There are better ways to handle. Listen, whether I get quick results or not,
There are things that are godly and there are things that are ungodly to do. When Satan wants to finish you thoroughly, he starts giving you those ungodly ideas. How do you get money for your business? There are godly ways, there are ungodly ways. And I'm talking about the power of godliness. Let me say it again. I am not talking about quick results. A lot of times you go to church, people tell you, it works. I did this yesterday, I got this result today. Sometimes things work like that and we give God glory for it. Other times they don't work like that. The Bible talks about the principle of patience and the principle of contentment. Sometimes God has to bring you down, all right, into a level that you did not know you could settle in before. All your friends are traveling abroad for holidays does not mean you have to go. You have put your husband under unnecessary pressure. The man has almost become a thief because he has a wife who must go abroad for holiday because all her friends are going abroad also. If you're a woman like that, you must repent. Listen, you must settle down and within you and your husband, understand the level that you are in life. Everybody is not on the same level. I know God. That's what I pride myself in. And I know that the path of the just is like the light of dawn. And it's shining brighter and brighter. What I can have, I don't have today, I can have tomorrow. What is important about this life is that I affect my generation for God. You have a mission in which you are supposed to affect your generation for God. Don't let Satan put the things that are in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Don't let Satan use it to drain you from God's destiny for you. I always tell somebody, when they tell me things, sometimes I say, all your friends are building houses. All your friends are doing this. I always tell them, are all my friends teaching the way of success? Are all my friends writing the books I'm writing? Are all my friends doing the things that I am doing? Are they the father to my children? Are they the husband to my wife? Nobody has been called by God to run a race in competition with me. Listen, I am running against myself. The bankie of today is running to beat the bankie of yesterday. And the bankie of tomorrow is running to beat the bankie of today. I am on the race against myself. Do you get my point? There is a path that is set before me. Nobody will put me under pressure. I'm explaining a principle. Sometimes people want to get money for their business. They have put themselves under unnecessary pressure. They start telling lies. You know this thing will not yield results for your investors in the first 1 year. You are cooking up books so that they will give you money that you don't deserve. Listen, you will finally collapse that business. And please, let's look. You know, somebody said something some time ago that somebody was passing somewhere one day and he saw the devil sitting in front of a church and he was crying. And the person said, devil, why are you crying? He said, the lie is too much. The lie is too much. Look at these people inside this church. Anything that goes wrong in their life, they say it is me. Even when I don't know about it, they say it is me. Do you follow what I'm saying? Now, that's a joke, but it tells the truth about what we do sometimes. We blame Satan for the misfortunes of our life, which we bought by walking in unrighteousness. We blame Satan for the problems that come upon us, which we bought because we are walking against the order of God. Don't forget what I said. I want to close with this. God said at the beginning, he said, let us make man in our image, and after our likeness, and let them have dominion. Listen, you can't have dominion until you discover the image of God in that endeavor in your life. You cannot have dominion until you discover the likeness of God in that thing you want to do. That is, there is a way God wants you to work in your business. There is a way God wants you to deal with your employees. There is a way God wants you to deal with your employer. And you will have dominion in life when you do it the way God says you should do it. That's what I'm trying to explain.
The Way of Success is a production of Kingdom Word Ministries, a non-denominational teaching ministry based in Enugu, Nigeria. For more information and for free access to Pastor Banky's audio messages, books and other materials, log on to kingdomword-ng.org. Our mailing address is mails@kingdomword-ng.org or P.O. Box 2273 Enugu, Nigeria. Please join us same time next week for another refreshing time with the Word of God, and have a blessed week.